Welcome to the Vineyard Church of Greater Portland podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Mario Mastin. For more podcasts and other resources, please visit www.vineyardportland.org.
So we've been on a series called Practical Truth for Living in Proverbs, and this morning I want to speak to you about knowing wellness. Knowing wellness. The last 2 weeks, we've looked at subjects of finding favor for God in Proverbs 3:3-4. And then last week, we looked at the idea of staying on track with God in Proverbs 3:5-6. And this morning, we're going to look at this idea of what I'm calling knowing wellness from the next two verses of the 10 that we're using in Proverbs 3 for this series. And they're verses 7 and 8. And like I did in week 1, I want to read these verses from two different translations. And the same two translations I used in week 1. One is the NIV and the other is the Passion Translation by Brian Simmons. So this is what it says in the NIV. And this is our text for this morning. Do not be wise in your own eyes. We could just stop there, but the verse doesn't stop there. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Kind of an old-fashioned word there, shun, but shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. In the Passion Translation, it's rendered this way. Don't think for a moment that you know it all. For wisdom comes when you adore Him with awe and wonder and avoid everything that is wrong. The Him there is God. For then you will find healing refreshment your body and spirit long for. So each of these two Proverbs that we've looked at in the last couple of weeks, I said had an exhortation, and then accompanying the exhortation is a promise. And the same is true in this third proverb we're looking at this morning. Knowing wellness becomes a reality for us, according to that passage, when we respond to the exhortation not to be wise in our own eyes, when we fear the Lord, and when we turn away from evil. And when we do that, there's a promise of health to our body, nourishment to our bones. Or as Brian Simmons put it, which I love, healing refreshment your body and spirit long for. So again, there's an exhortation. We're called to do something. We're encouraged to do something. And there's a promise associated with it. Just two things I want to look at in relationship to that this morning. And I was so psyched, by the way, when Jonathan sent me this week the set list for this morning. I don't know if you saw that other email I sent you, but that I think it was the second song we did, Higher Than I, was actually just totally in line with and in the flow of the message that I'm bringing this morning. Actually, I'm even using the same scripture verse partway through here, so you really hit it on the bullseye. He's going, really? Here's the first thing I want to say. If we're going to have this kind of healing refreshment for our body and spirit that we long for, the first thing we have to do is reach for the higher source. It says in this scripture, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and shun evil. The exhortation given in this proverb calls us to reach for that higher source. That higher source is the Lord Himself. The Lord who says this through the prophet Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the same Lord to whom David cried out with his royal lament, and he said this, hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge and strong tower against the foe. I want to say this morning, his thoughts really are higher. His ways really are higher. He is the rock that is higher. The Lord is the exalted one, and as the exalted one, that Isaiah also says is high and lofty, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity is another way he describes the Lord. He's not just higher in the sense that he's the sovereign Lord, he's superior to us, and he's heavenly. He also has something by virtue of the fact that he is the high and lofty one that we need down here on the earth. And this thing that he has is something he wants to give to you and me generously. And I would submit we need this in this season. We need it in every season of life. And it's this: wisdom from above. That's what we need. We need wisdom from above if we're going to live on the earth as God intends us to. Remember how in this series we're defining wisdom. And I'm not saying this is the definitive definition. This is a definition we're using here, but I believe to my core that it's a scriptural definition of what wisdom is. We're defining wisdom in this series as the ability to make godly choices in life. The ability to make godly choices and then follow through on those in life. That is wisdom. It's the application of the knowledge of God given to us by revelation and then being able to apply that into our lives so that we can make godly choices. This kind of wisdom does not originate with us. It comes down from heaven. It comes from the higher source, from God himself. It comes from the high and lofty one, the exalted one, our God. So that means we need to reach for him if we're going to acquire the kind of wisdom that only he can give. What we need, he alone has the capacity to provide. That kind of wisdom. And here's the really cool thing. He wants to do just that. God wants to give us his wisdom. He doesn't want us to be stumbling around in the dark. He wants to give his wisdom to us. This is what James tells us. The scripture tells us. Just look at what the scripture says. If any of you lacks wisdom. Ever lacked wisdom? If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all. No one's excluded from this. He gives generally to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. What a stunning promise that is. If anyone lacks wisdom, all they have to do is ask God, who gives generously to all, and he does it without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So how do we go about reaching for the Lord to obtain that wisdom that comes from above? How do we go about asking him for wisdom? We do so exactly in the way that this exhortation in this proverb tells us to. We live in awe and wonder of the Lord, and we avoid what's wrong. That's the way in which we ask God for wisdom with our life. We live in awe and wonder of him, and we avoid what is wrong. This means there's something for us to do in the transaction between us and God, him in heaven, us on the earth, and our receiving the wisdom that he generously wants to give. There's something we're called to do here. This is what it means to fear the Lord. You know, the word fear here doesn't mean fear that causes one to be scared. It's not a fear that brings torment. It's fear as in awe, as in incredible respect and awe for who God is, the recognition of who he is. When we, out of adoration for the Lord, live in awe and wonder of the Lord, who he is, and what he's done, then we will not only look to him for wisdom from above, we will make an intentional choice to do just that. A wise choice, and that choice will be what? To avoid what is wrong. Or as in the NIV it says, to shun evil. The word shun just means to, it's an old-fashioned archaic term that just means to turn away from, to turn aside from. To shun means to have nothing to do with. And Brian Simmons renders it to avoid what's wrong, to make a godly choice to say that particular thing, that thought, that attitude, that action, it's wrong, and I'm making a decision to throw myself on the grace of God and say, you know what, Lord, I need wisdom from above, and I'm making a decision not to do that, not to hold that attitude, not to act in that way, not to speak in that way, not to think that way. I'm making a wise choice. You see, there's a direct connection between wisdom from above and living well on the earth. It's based on a relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. We need to recognize that our capacity to live as we should on the earth is determined by our connection to our Father in heaven. And that's why we must reach for him who is the higher source, who is the high and lofty one, who dwells in eternity. James put it this way in his letter to the believers among the nations that we've already quoted from. He said this, every good and perfect gift is from above. Where is every good and perfect gift from? Above. And who does it come from? James says, from the Father coming down, from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He's not a politician. He doesn't change like shifting shadows. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the rock beneath our feet. He is the star that leads us on. He does not change. Every good and perfect gift, wisdom being one of those good and perfect gifts, comes down from the Father of heavenly lights. And the great news is that he doesn't change like shifting shadows. James says he wants to generously give us that gift. He doesn't find fault with us when he does it, and he does it for all people. And that's the constancy of the way that God is when he dispenses his wisdom. I love that. He is always there to give us wisdom because of the constancy of his character and his nature. He doesn't change. We only have to ask him in life. It's like, is that too good a deal? No, it's not, because of who our good Heavenly Father is. We have to do that by faith. And we have to be ready to receive what he gives us by grace. The truth is, what we reach for and the source from where it comes will determine the life we lead. If we make ourselves and our wants the focus, and out of like a narcissistic preoccupation, we choose earthly wisdom, if we do that, then our lives, in experiential terms, will not be rightly aligned with God, whose ways and thoughts are not our ways and our thoughts. And we will not be as fruitful in life as we could otherwise be as Christians. This is why Paul wrote this to the Colossians. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Where is your heart set? Where is your mind set? Where is my heart set? Where is my mind set? Paul says it should be on things above, not on things on the earth. Here Paul is describing both the indicative and the imperative, the standing and the state of the believer. The indicative describes the believer's position in Christ. You have been raised. And the imperative describes what the believer has to do. Namely, set your heart on things above and set your mind on things above. In other words, our experiential decisions in life need to be ones rooted in God's wisdom so that our experience aligns now with our position in Christ, which is one who has been raised and seated together with him in the heavenly realms, Paul says in Ephesians. That our citizenship is no longer on earth, it's in the heavens. Amen. I mean, that is what the scripture teaches, right? We are to live from above even while we're on the earth. And we can do that through God's wisdom. We're to reach for that higher source, set our hearts and minds on things above, not on things on the earth. The word set here means to fix and to focus one's heart and mind. Where is your heart and mind fixed? What is your focus this morning? Is it on the earth or is it on things above, even while you walk out life on the earth? It requires intentionality on our part. It is a godly choice that we make to say, you know what? I'm going to set my heart and my mind on things above. That is a choice you and I have to make. And God's wisdom is calling us to make that choice. And saying when we do, God will generously dispense to us and give to us his wisdom in life. So that we can make choices that align us with him and his will for us as we journey with him. I don't know about you, but in spite of my faults, that's what I long for. That's the aspiration of my heart. If we live in awe and wonder of the Lord and in loving reverence of him, make an intentional choice to shun evil, to turn away from what's wrong, and to reach for heavenly wisdom, then we will be a people and persons of purity and peace and fruitful righteousness. Look at what James says again in his letter. But if you harbor bitter envy or selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. There's a kind of wisdom out there that doesn't come down from heaven, James says. And that wisdom is earthly, it's unspiritual, it's of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, you find disorder and every evil practice. But wisdom that comes from heaven, here's the heavenly wisdom, this is what it's like, is first pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. This is the promise for us when we receive wisdom from above and we reach for the higher source. So my word to your heart and mind this morning is let's respond to that exhortation that's given to us in this proverb. Because when we do, here comes the promise. And the promise is this, we receive the higher life. When you reach for the higher source, you receive the higher life. This is what it says. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. The promise could not be clearer, could it? When we reach for the higher source in response to the wisdom of the exhortation not to be wise in our own eyes, to fear God and to shun evil, then health will come to our body and nourishment to our bones. We will, to use Brian Simmons' rendering of this promise, which I prefer and which I believe catches the true sense of what's being contained here, we will find healing refreshment for our body and our spirit. In other words, when we reach for the higher source, for God himself, our loving heavenly Father, we not only get wisdom from above to make godly choices in life, we receive wellness from above. That's where it comes from. We can know His refreshing presence as we live life in a context that very often is wearing and not refreshing. I really believe that this promise speaks to the truth that there is a relationship between our spiritual and physical wellness and the wisdom of God. Now, I want to be careful here. Let me make something clear given what I just said. I just said that I believe that this promise speaks to the truth that there's a relationship between our spiritual and physical wellness and the wisdom of God. So I need to make something clear that I am not saying that I don't believe the text is saying. I'm not saying that if you are dealing with physical sickness this morning of some form or other, that either implicitly or explicitly, based on this verse, you must be living without wisdom from above. I want to make that clear. If you're dealing with some physical ailment or sickness, be it periodic, be it chronic, whatever, I am not saying, therefore, your life is displaying the fact that you're not living from wisdom from above. Okay? The promise in this proverb is not one of perfect health. We still have, but you've got to compare scripture with scripture, spiritual with spiritual here. Do the proper exegesis of scripture and interpret it and apply it appropriately. We still have, the scripture makes clear, bodies of sin and death. We are still subject to the overarching impact of what took place in Genesis chapter 3. That won't be fully eradicated until there's a new heaven and a new earth and the old order has passed away. Revelation makes that clear with the coming of Jesus' kingdom in its fullness. So the promise in this proverb is not a perfect health physically. We still have bodies of sin and death, and that will not change until we either see Jesus face to face, till he comes back, or until in the great resurrection we receive spiritual bodies like his. However, having said that, there is a clear promise here that when we embrace the exhortation and reach for the higher source, which is God himself, by choosing not to live as if we know it all, but instead adoring him in a response of awe and wonder and make a decision to avoid what is wrong, then there is a sense in which healing comes to us. Just as we can live in wisdom that comes from above, from the Lord, so we can live in the healing refreshment of the Lord, both in body and spirit. The connection here is between an exhortation and a promise, between wisdom and wellness. God's intention is that we be well and that we live well. And he's giving us wisdom in this proverb so that we can do both. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't have a part to play in this as well. We do. We have a spiritual part to play, and I believe we have a physical part to play. If we make poor choices rooted in earthly wisdom and selfishness that cause us to abuse our spiritual health or to abuse our physical health, we can't turn around when we're sick spiritually and physically and blame God for the outcome. If we land up unwell as a direct result of choices that we've made and patterns of behavior we've established, be they spiritually related or physically related, we are responsible for that, not God. And we can't turn around and say, well, hey, you've been unfaithful to your proverb here because I'm not well. We have a part to play in this. For example, if a person disengages from the Lord personally, they just disengage from God and like, he's there, but for all intents and purposes, he's not an integral part of my life and experience. You know, I put my trust in him for salvation, the insurance policy is there, and now I'm just going to go on and live my life without any reference to God. If somebody disengages from the Lord like that, or somebody disengages from church altogether and they say, yeah, it's just me and Jesus, I don't need the people of God, just me and the Lord, we're in it together. And as for the rest of them, well, I really don't need the rest of the sheep. I don't need to be a part of God's people. I don't need to fellowship with them. I don't need what they can bring to me. I don't need who I am to be a blessing to them. I'm just going to disengage completely from any corporate expression of the commitment to follow Jesus. If somebody does those things without reference to the Lord, and they refuse to accept God's wisdom, which is explicit on both of those fronts, and they buy into earthly, unspiritual, and what James calls devilish wisdom, rather than that which comes from above, they are going to forfeit the experience of the refreshing, healing presence that comes to both spirit and body. However, let me give you another example, actually, before I move on, because I'm close to the end here. That's the spiritual component. What about the physical? If a person chooses to abuse their body in some way through a habit or practices that are just completely deleterious to their health, whether it's dietary, whether it's substance-oriented, or something else, and they say, for instance, refuse any medical advice or counsel from a doctor or a qualified clinician, and they just decide, I'm going to continue to live this way, then they can't be looking to God and saying, well, why aren't you nourishing my body? Why aren't you healing my body? Why aren't you nourishing my bones? We have a part to play. There's a responsibility on us to work with God. Now, remember what James said. God doesn't find fault with us. And he understands that we have weaknesses. And we have proclivities and tendencies and practices that we establish in our life. If God weren't giving wisdom without finding fault, I would have been toast a long time ago. God is gracious and loving and patient and wise. But there are things that we're called to do. I'm not hearing many amens on that. I'm seeing a lot of people looking at the floor. There are things that we're called to do, people. Things I'm called to do. And there are people in this church that hold me accountable for what's going on in my life physically. Are you getting enough exercise? Are you doing what you need to be doing? Jim. He's one of the guys that holds me accountable and checks in on me and has done it over the years, even when I kick against the pricks. Even when I don't want to do that, because I'm responsible. So are you. Remember, with each of these proverbs, there's a promise that's contingent upon the embrace of the exhortation that precedes it. You can't divorce those two things as much as we like to. They are conditional. They go together. So I just want to end with this morning. Look, as we love the Lord, as we live in awe and wonder of him, as we make wise decisions to, you know, Lord, I'm not going to do that because that's wrong. I'm not going to harbor that attitude. I'm not going to think that way. I'm not going to speak that way. I'm not going to behave that way. Because as much as in me, my old nature wants to do that and would enjoy doing it right now, I'm not going to do it. Because I'm making a choice to exercise self-control under the governance of the Holy Spirit and allow that fruit to be born in my life and in wisdom turn away from those things. The promise is conditional on our obedience to the exhortation. Now, God won't stop loving us if we're disobedient to it, but we will forfeit the blessing that could be ours in life. It's only when we reach for the higher source and walk in wisdom from above that we receive that higher life and experience it down here on the earth. Let me end by saying this. Our God is a loving heavenly Father. He's given us these proverbs we're looking at, including the one we read this morning, for our benefit, not for our harm. And he is also the Lord Jehovah, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And he promises us the healing, refreshment of His presence, both for our spirit and our body. Amen. So I just want to encourage you this week, guys. Knowing wellness is part of the promise that God gives to us as we walk with Him. And it means two things. It means you've got to reach for Him. You've got to live with awe and wonder of the Lord. And you've got to make a choice to turn from that which is wrong. And recognize that you don't know it all. And neither do I. But He does. And secondly, we've got to receive that higher life. And we will. And the wave of the Spirit, the wind of the Spirit, will blow over our lives. Personally, corporately. And no one brings refreshment like the Holy Spirit of the living God. No one. The refreshment of His grace, the refreshment of His love, the refreshment of His faithfulness, the refreshment of His power to bring healing to our spirit and our body. And when we do that, we really will know wellness, and I believe God wants us to do that. So let's stand this morning.